Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in John, where Jesus tries to cheer up his followers after a bit of a depressing conversation in chapter 13. Jesus has been talking about leaving. In fact, the previous chapter ended with Jesus saying they couldn't follow him where he was going. Jesus doesn't want them to be troubled by this, so in verse 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Jesus is going home. He's going to his Father's house that has many rooms, but he tells him, "I have to go first and make it ready for you, but you know the way, and you're coming there later." Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one who comes to the Father comes except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus said. Thomas thinks he spots a loophole. "Lord, we can't go where you're going, because we don't know where you're going, so we don't know the way to get there." When he says, "How can we know the way?" and Jesus says, "I am the way," he adds two more words, making this statement like a combo move on a video game. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And by the way, this is also an I am statement, Yahweh, using God's name and attaching way, truth, and life. But why does Jesus decide to group them all together? Well, going to heaven is like being on a path. But it's not like God's waiting at the end of our journey for us to arrive. In fact, he's with us all the way. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the journey. If you've ever journeyed with someone who knows where they're going, maybe they picked you up at an airport, and they live out in the backcountry, out in the middle of nowhere, in the sticks and it's dark, you just have to trust them. You know that they know the way to their own home. In fact, you kind of go into autopilot. When someone knows their territory like the back of their hand, you go on autopilot and just sit back and enjoy the conversation and the company. Well, the journey to heaven is like that. Just stick with Jesus. He knows the way home. If you're with him, that means you're on the way, and he'll get you there. Jesus says, "Thomas, you know the way if you stick with me." But it's important that Jesus also says, "I'm the truth," because we don't understand everything on the way. Therefore, the more we walk with Jesus, the more into the truth we come. And lastly, the life. It's not just about head knowledge. Our eternal life starts now, which means that our old life begins to change and a new life begins. We're already on that life, and the more we're with Jesus, the more that life begins to change, and it begins to look more and more like the eternal life we'll have with him once we get home. Jesus is like the all-inclusive package. If you have him, you have the way, you have the truth, and you have the life, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's settled. Philip has a request in verse 8. "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? I am in the Father and the Father is in me." You know, I really wish I could explain this to you, but I went to seminary. I heard one of the greatest theologians of our day explain the Trinity for nearly 3 hours. After giving his best shot, at the end of it, someone raised their hands and said, "But sir, can we ever really fully understand it?" To which my professor replied, "No, it's a mystery," and gave us all a sheepish grin. But remember, Jesus is the truth. He doesn't expect us to fully understand this just to accept it. That's how it is following Jesus. We don't always understand everything he's talking about, and the Trinity is a giant mystery. This idea that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not three separate gods or beings, but one being in three separate persons, I don't have a box to put that in. But listen to Jesus urging them to believe God, to believe these crazy truths, that God, the Father, at that very moment is in him. In verse 10, "The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say, I am in the Father, and the Father's in me. Or believe at least on the evidence of the work themselves." Here, Jesus is pointing to words and works. "The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. God is speaking through me." But Jesus is saying he's also acting through me as well. Listen to him say, "Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. You can't see the Father in me, disciples, but you can hear him in my words. You can see him in my actions, particularly the miracles." But the same can be true of us. God wants to speak and work through us, his followers, as well. Look at verse 12. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to my Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Jesus is saying some mysterious things here, but the bottom line is Jesus saying, just as I wasn't alone, neither will you be. He says greater things than he has done will be done by the disciples. And of course that happened. The disciples did many of the same miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick, casting out demons. But preaching the gospel of the risen Lord Jesus and seeing 3,000 people come to faith on the day of Pentecost, was perhaps the greatest miracle of the New Testament. And this would be repeated time and time through the book of Acts. But what about this promise that whatever you ask in my name, I'll do? Well, keep in mind, he's speaking to them, not us. God isn't your genie, and he's not at our beck and call like a performing monkey. But after spending 3 years on mission with Jesus, the disciples knew the right things to ask. Jesus trusted them, could make them this promise, and guess what? God came through. Like Jesus did nothing on his own authority or power, the disciples need something extra, something they didn't have. After all, they're going to need greater power to do the greater works. In the same way that Jesus is in the Father, and the Father's in him, Jesus tells him that this greater power, the Holy Spirit himself, will be in them. In verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." You know him, Jesus says. He's with you, but he will be in you. We'll talk more about that in coming chapters. But Jesus equates the Spirit's coming into them as he himself coming to them. Put a bookmark there, but we've got to move on because Jesus isn't done. Verse 25. "All this I've spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." What's an advocate? It's someone who fights for you. They come alongside you and argue your case. Jesus is saying that having the Holy Spirit feels like having God on our side, and they won't be alone to figure it out, and neither will we. And that should give us peace. Leaving us with the Holy Spirit is Jesus' way of leaving us with his peace. Jesus didn't want their hearts to be troubled at the beginning of this conversation, so now he says, "Peace I leave with you." And he ends one more time saying, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid." Is Jesus saying, everything's going to be all right. You may not understand it yet, but I have a peace that passes all understanding. You can't explain it, but it comes from trusting. So today, let's lean back in the seat a little with Jesus on our journey to heaven. He's the way. He'll get us there. He's the truth. We'll understand in time. And he's the life that will never end. The chapter ends with Jesus saying, "Come now, let us leave." And I'll see you next time on our journey through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.